right, good singing tonight. Good selections. I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. In this last chapter of John, we find the Lord is mentioning Peter's name and Simon Peter many times, and this is a chapter where Peter's attention is really gotten by the Lord. The Lord is speaking to him, and his life is being influenced when the Lord is speaking to him. Aren't you glad God can speak to us through his word, and he can influence our lives even today? In John chapter 21, I'd like you to start at the beginning of the chapter and read along with me, or follow with me. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, and they were not far from the land, but it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening that we can open your word, your eternal word that's forever settled in heaven. We thank you for this book, Lord, and we ask you to open our hearts and understandings and challenge us and our faith that we might live for you, and that you might have your will done in our life, and that we might look to you with all the challenges and the perplexities of life, realizing that you can help us in every situation. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Simon Peter, they're waiting for the Lord. He had told them to wait, and they're waiting, and Peter's a little impatient. And he says, I'm going fishing. Let's go fishing. I don't know if you go fishing much, but I like to fish. I like to eat fish. I like to eat any kind of fish. Mrs. Jenke only eats tuna fish. She says it's the only fish that doesn't stare back at me. When I eat it, I can eat it with a clear conscience. But I love to go fishing for blues. Anybody go fishing for blues? Oh, I tell you, when you get a blue on the end of that, you know you got a fish. And, I mean, they come in good sizes, too. But nothing like going fishing, that's for sure. And here we find the disciples are going fishing. And after fishing all night, they failed to catch anything. Now, these are professional fishermen by trade. And even professional fishermen have times where they don't catch anything. I think it's rare, but here's a night of toiling and they catch nothing. Notice verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. This is always the outcome when we try to do things without the Lord. and the energy of our own flesh, the best endeavors without Christ end up to nothing. And the failure is written across every life that is lived without the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. We too, we have failed to conquer sin without the Lord's help. We fail to glorify God. We fail to find salvation and satisfaction through all of our efforts. The Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. And how true that is. The best thing to do is to come to the Lord and confess our disappointments and our failures in life. That's for sure. And here the disciples are discouraged. Oh, discouragement is a terrible feeling, isn't it? You feel helpless. And yet, what fights discouragement the best is God's word and prayer, waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall receive renewedness of strength, amen, and power. And power belongeth unto God. And discouragement's a terrible thing to go through. They were dissatisfied with all their effort and with all their work. And it's an unhappy time when you're fishing all night and you come back with nothing. It's tolerable if you can catch something. But I can recall going out on the Atlantic Ocean, and they go to one spot and they say, well, there may be some fish here, and you fish for an hour or two, and they say, well, we're going to go somewhere else, and you cast your net, your fishing line out there, and there have been times when you come back, you know, and it's late. It's like 2, 3 in the morning, and you didn't catch anything, and you're wet, and you're tired, and you're hungry, and you got a long drive back from Belmar, if you go down to Belmar. And it's tolerable if you do have, a sack full of fish in the back, that's for sure. But they're dissatisfied, they're disappointed. And in the midst of their disappointment, a voice from the shore says, children, have you any meat? A compassionate voice. And how sad it was for these professional fishermen to say the word no. After all night working, no. And it was the Lord on the shore. Amen. You know, I think of John also writing in John chapter 15 when he talks about abiding in the vine and how that without the Lord we can do nothing. Let's look at chapter 15 just for a minute. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Verse 2. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And here they have a whole night of fishing, and nothing to show for it as of yet. And Peter didn't catch any fish. Trouble. They have disappointments. You know, we have disappointments many times in life, don't we? Disappointments at home, disappointments at work, disappointments at school. I remember when I was in school, this A student friend of mine used to be very disappointed to get a B. And I'd look at that B and I say, man, that would make me really happy. But for someone that was used to getting A's and A pluses and perfection, they were dissatisfied with that B. And I could never understand how anybody could be sad over a B. But dissatisfaction comes all the time. But we can take our cares and bring them to the Lord and find that he can help us during those difficult days, difficult times in our life. Here the Lord doesn't scold them, but he addresses them with a tender, compassionate voice, and he simply asks a question, do you have any meat? And you know, failure is only final when we do not respond to his help. Let me say that again. Failure is only final when we do not respond to his help. There's always a way of escape. There's always a way out. I was sharing this with friends this morning, that there are many times there are obstacles in the Christian life, and Satan would even have you to quit and give up. But you know what? With every obstacle, God allows you to keep on going. Maybe going in a new direction. Maybe going in a different way. But he'll always lead you and he'll always guide you if you just keep going and not quit. And so, yes, there was a sad failure here in chapter 21, but we find that they exercised some simple faith. And verse number 6 of chapter 21, he said, "Cast your net on the other side of the ship." Now, think if you were them, professional fishermen, and the voice from the shore asked you, "Do you have anything? Did you catch anything?" And they had to confess, and they told the truth. Fishermen don't always tell the truth, do they? You know, the one that got away. In the story, you know, the more you tell a story, sometimes the bigger that fish gets. Amen, Tony? You know about that, right? All right, a picture's worth a thousand words. And here the voice says to them, "All right, cast your net on the other side." And this is after toiling all night and coming up with nothing. And they respond to that voice. It would have been easy for them to say, "Mind your own business. We're tired, we're hungry, we're grumpy. You don't know what you're talking about. We're professional fishermen with no fish." But in simple faith, all they had to do is to believe and obey. And in a moment, you could hear the splash of the net as the empty net's thrown into the sea again. And then there's a great load of fish, so they can hardly pull it in. Only the Lord could do that. Guido? You're getting ahead of me. You're getting ahead of me, but you're listening. That's good. It reminds Peter of the first time he met the Lord. And with that introduction, Guido, let us look at Luke chapter 5. And that's true. Matter of fact, the Lord is getting his attention all through this chapter. He's reminding Peter of many things because Peter has had a rough time in his Christian life. And this occurs, chapter 21 occurs sometime between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost when Peter preaches that great sermon and many are saved. But in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, we find that Jesus is calling Peter to follow him way back here in the Gospel of Luke 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And Peter was in that group. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it and fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Oh yes, Peter, his memory's being jogged now. The Lord is reminding him of many things after he had denied the Lord three times. And here now he's reminded of the day that he met the Lord and the day that the Lord called him to follow him. Oh, we should never lose our first love. Amen. We should never forget the day that we came to the Lord. We should never forget the day that the Lord spoke to our heart and where our life really began. And here Peter's being reminded of that great time when he had listened to the Lord and obeyed the Lord. And the Lord provided a great catch of fish. And I'm sure he's reminded now that the Lord's going to provide for him. He can follow the Lord. The Lord is able to take care of all of his needs. And God is getting his attention. You know, God can get our attention very easily. Amen. Aren't you glad God is patient and kind and loving? And when he gets our attention, he does it just in the way that is necessary for each of us. He's the perfect parent. He knows all of his children. He knows how to deal with all of us individually. If you came from a big family, you know that's a big job. God's got a big family too, amen? And he's wise enough to take care of all of his children and to challenge us, each of us, and to deal with us individually. But his attention is gotten now, and we should never forget the Lord that bought us. And so we have, the disciples are sad, now they're happy, and now they're getting ready for a feast on the shore, as the Lord had a fire going and fish are cooking. Imagine the Lord is making them breakfast. That's great. He cares about his children, doesn't he? He's making them fish, and he's got a fire going. Say, how did he make the fire? Did he speak it into existence, or did he just make it? I don't know. I'll leave that for the theologians. All I know is he took care of the need that was there. Notice in verse number 9 of John chapter 21, and soon then, as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have caught. And the one that made the world, the one that spoke the world into existence, now stoops, and humbles himself as a servant as he waits upon his disciples and serves them. Well, I'll tell you, we serve a great God who really loves us. To serve them, he makes this fire and coals and a welcome breakfast. What a wonderful time they had a fellowship there. And he invites them to bring some of the fish that they caught. And he is the same Jesus that died for their sins and has appeared now to strengthen them and to strengthen their faith and to prove that he cared for them and that he will care for them all the days that they live. What a great time they had. And this is also reminding Peter of another fire. I'd like you to look at John chapter 18. Please, John chapter 18. We go down to verse number 18. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. And we find that Peter now is standing there and warming himself by the fire. And we go down to verse number 24. And Ananias had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden? Boy, he sure did see him, didn't he? Amen. He didn't forget that face. Not so quick. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. So Peter's memory is being jogged now as they're eating breakfast, as he's looking into the coals of fire, and he's remembering when he denied the Lord, and he's remembering how the Lord loved him and how he called him to serve him all of his days. And they're sitting there and they're fellowshipping. And Peter is really being dealt with in a loving, compassionate way by the Lord as the Lord strengthens them and strengthens their faith. And then we go down to verse number 22, please, of John chapter 21, verse number 22. And they're talking, they're fellowshipping. And let's go to 17, verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. One of the disciples is singled out, and after he had denied him, the Lord dealt with Peter. It's interesting, Peter is interested in what other people are doing. And the Lord has to remind him. He says, look, you follow me. That's what you need to be concerned about. You follow me. Don't worry about what others are doing. You know, that's pretty good advice. Sometimes we get over-concerned with others, and what we need to do is keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord and our own life. And it's interesting that Peter earlier had boasted his loyalty to the Lord, said, I'll never, never leave you. And we also find that he went to sleep in the garden. Three times the Lord woken them up, and the three times Peter denies the Lord. And of course he had repented, but the Lord wanted him to prove his repentance by an open confession. And he says, do you really love me wholeheartedly, Peter? And of course the answer was sincere and humble. He says, Lord, I love you. I love you so much. And I know that I belong to you. Peter's attention has really been stirred in this chapter, and he's reminded of God's love for him, and he's reminded of many things. And if we love Christ, we will follow him, that's for sure. And Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he said to Peter, when you're converted, you can strengthen your brethren. He said that earlier in the gospel. And now he is converted. Now he is. His heart is steadfast. Now he is following the Lord. And now he's able to help others. Well, the question comes to us tonight. Are you following the Lord? Mom, are you following the Lord? Dad, are you following the Lord? Young people, are you following the Lord? Well, first of all, we have to know him to follow him. Amen? You have to know the Lord to follow him. And if you know him, there's a challenge for us to learn of him. You know, I was thinking of the verse that in the Word of God that says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me and shall find rest unto your souls. So many people receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and they're happy for a bit. But you know that happiness wears off if you don't get back into the Bible and learn of him. And while you're learning of him, work for him. A yoke is an implement of work. You put a yoke on oxen and you can plow a field. God wants to put his yoke upon us. I firmly believe that there's something that every Christian can do for the Lord. There's something a Christian can do for the Lord in the church. You might want to pray about it. Maybe you've got an idea. You can run it by us. But there's something that you can do for the Lord. And so Peter now is following the Lord, and he's sincere. Learn of me and shall find rest unto your souls. How do you learn of him? Well, studying his word, going to Sunday school, coming back Wednesday night for Bible study and prayer, and just being a student of the Bible. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we thank you tonight for the chance to open your word and to look into it. We thank you, Father, for the compassionate way that you spoke to Peter's heart and how that you encouraged him and how that you encouraged him to follow you and just the tender way that you dealt with this situation. Now, Father, I pray that you'd have your will in our lives tonight. Their heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight? Never been a time that you invited the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior? And you'd like to be remembered in prayer before we dismiss the service? If that's your desire tonight, would you like to just be remembered in prayer? Lift your hand up high. Anyone like that? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight or go to heaven. Not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm born again. I'd like to be remembered in the closing prayer. Anyone like that? All right. Would be a believer tonight, you say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart, and there's some burdens on my heart tonight that I would just like to give over to the Lord. And tonight in the closing prayer, I just want him to take them away tonight. I want to be remembered in prayer. Anyone like that? See your hands, you just raise them, put them down. God bless you. You, yes. Others, yes. Yes, others. All right, let's give them to the Lord tonight, shall we? Father in heaven, you see the hearts, you see the hands, and we ask you to take these burdens and these cares of life, and we give them over to you tonight. We ask you to have your will and way in them, and we give you all the praise and all the glory for it, and we thank you so much for your love for us. May you have your will done in our lives this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.